Today is the 7th day of June. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we huddle up, face forward, and look out over that brand new, shiny, sparkly week that is before us, like we do every week. It's a reset. This week hasn't happened yet. It's gonna happen. There's nothing we can do about that. Is it gonna happen to us, or are we going to happen to it? That's the important question. Because we have a lot of creative control over our lives and a lot of power bestowed upon us by God to create life and to create our lives. So we're gonna do that. And if we do not do it with intentionality, we're still going to create it, but we're going to create chaos. Right? And maybe that's an aha moment. Because we're going to create our life this week. How are we going to go about it? When we set intentions, and then we reflect back on our intentions, we become self-aware, and we have the opportunity to grow. And so may we do that with all of our hearts this week as we continue to take steps forward each and every day. It is a brand new week. We will read from the International Standard Version this week and continue our journey. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, verse 2. As David's time to die approached, he addressed his son Solomon with these words: I'm headed down the road that everyone who lives on earth travels. So be strong and demonstrate that you're a grown man by keeping the charge that the Lord your God entrusted to you. Live life his way. Keep his statutes, his commands, his ordinances, and his testimonies, just as they're written down in the law of Moses, so that you may succeed in everything you do and wherever you go, and so that the Lord may fulfill his promise that he spoke about me when he said, if your sons pay attention to how they live by walking truthfully in my presence with all their heart and with all their soul, you will never lack a man on the throne of Israel. Furthermore, you're aware of what Zeruiah's son Joab did to me and to those two commanders of the armies of Israel, Ner's son Abner and Jether's son Amasa, whom he killed, and how he shed the blood of wartime during times of peace, staining the very belt he wears around his waist and the sandals he wears on his feet. So act consistently with your wisdom, and don't let him die as a peaceful old man. Be gracious to the descendants of Barzillai the Gileadite, and provide for them in your household, because they helped me when I had to run from your brother Absalom. Pay attention now. You have with you Gera's son Shimei, the descendant of Benjamin from Ahurim. He cursed me violently that day when I had to leave for Mahanaim. When he visited me at the Jordan River, I made an oath to the Lord and I told him, I won't execute you with a sword, but don't let him off unpunished. Since you're a wise man, and you'll know what you need to do to him. Find a way that he dies in his old age by shedding his blood. After this, David died, as had his ancestors, and he was buried in the city of David. David had reigned over Israel for 40 years. He reigned in Hebron for 7 years and in Jerusalem for 33 years. Solomon then assumed his father David's throne, and his kingdom was firmly established. Later, Haggith's son Adonijah approached Solomon's mother. "Are you here on a peaceful mission?" she asked. "Yes," he replied. "I have something to ask you about." "Talk," she told him. So he replied, "You know that the kingdom should have come to me, and that everyone in Israel intended to place me as the next king. However, the kingdom has turned around and now belongs to my brother, because it went to him from the Lord. So now I'm asking one thing from you. Don't refuse me." "Talk," she told him. Then he asked her, "Please talk to King Solomon for me, since he won't refuse you. Ask him to give me Abishag, the Shunammite, as a wife." "Very well," Bathsheba replied. "I'll talk to the king for you." So Bathsheba went to talk to King Solomon for Adonijah. The king rose to meet her, bowed to her, and sat down on his throne. He ordered a throne be set in place for his mother. She sat on a throne to his right and told him, "I would like to make a minor request of you. Please don't refuse me." "What is your request, mother?" the king asked her. "I won't turn you down." So she asked him, "Give Abishag the Shunammite to your brother Adonijah as a wife." But King Solomon replied to his mother, "Why are you asking Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Why not ask me to give up the kingdom for him, since he's my older brother? And why not ask for Abiathar the priest and for Zeruiah's son Joab?" Then King Solomon took this oath in the name of the Lord, "May God do so to me and more besides. If Adonijah hasn't endangered his life by bringing up this subject. Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has established me and set me on the throne of my father David, and who has established a dynasty just like he promised, Adonijah will surely be executed today." So King Solomon sent for Jehoiada's son Benaiah, who attacked and killed Adonijah. The king also told Abiathar the priest, "Go home to Anathoth. You deserve to die, but I won't kill you today, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you shared all the troubles that my father went through." So Solomon fired Abiathar as the Lord's priest, thus fulfilling the promise that the Lord had spoken in Shiloh concerning Eli's household. When Joab learned what had happened, he ran to the Lord's tent and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar, since Joab had supported Adonijah, though he had not supported Absalom. Somebody informed King Solomon, "Joab just ran to the Lord's tent, and now he's standing beside the altar." But Solomon ordered Jehoiada's son Benaiah, "Go kill him." So Benaiah went into the Lord's tent and told Joab, "The king orders you to come out." "No," Joab said, "I'd rather die here." So Benaiah went and informed the king. This is how Joab answered me. The king replied to him, "Do just what he asked. Kill him and bury him, so that you may remove from me and from my father's household the guilt that Joab shed needlessly. The Lord will repay him for his bloodshed, because without my father David's consent, he attacked and murdered two men more righteous and better than he, Ner's son Abner, the commander of Israel's army, and Jether's son Amasa, commander of Judah's army. May their blood be repaid to Joab and to his descendants forever, and may there be peace shown from the Lord forever to David, to his descendants, to his household, and to his throne." Jehoiada's son Benaiah then approached Joab, attacked him, killed him, and had him buried at Joab's home in the wilderness. The king appointed Jehoiada's son Benaiah in charge of the army to replace Joab, and also appointed Zadok the priest to replace Abiathar. The king sent for Shimei and told him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there, but don't go anywhere from there. If you ever leave and cross the Kidron Brook, you can be sure that you'll die. You will be responsible for your own death." Shimei replied to the king, "Your majesty, as decreed, is acceptable to me. I'll do what you've said." So Shimei lived in Jerusalem for quite some time, but 3 years later, two of Shimei's servants escaped to Maacah's son Achish, the king of Gath. Somebody told Shimei, "Look, your servants went to Gath." So Shimei got up, saddled a donkey, and traveled to Gath to find his servants. He found them and brought them back from Gath. Later, Solomon found out that Shimei had left Jerusalem, gone to Gath, and had returned. So the king sent for Shimei and asked him, "Didn't I make a promise to the Lord and warn you? The day you leave and go anywhere else, you can be sure you'll die? And you told me, 'What your majesty has decreed is acceptable to me.' So why haven't you kept the oath you made to the Lord? And why didn't you obey my personal order to you?" The king also reminded Shimei, "You know all the evil things that you admit you did to my father David. Therefore the Lord is going to repay you for all of your evil. But King Solomon will be blessed, and David's throne will be established in the presence of the Lord forever." So the king gave orders to Jehoiada's son Benaiah to go out, attack Shimei, and kill him. That is how the kingdom was established under Solomon's control. Later, Solomon intermarried with the family of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, by taking his daughter and bringing her to the city of David to live until he had completed building his own palace, the Lord's temple, and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at various high places because the temple had not yet been built and dedicated to the Lord. Acts 5. But then, a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife Sapphira, sold some property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back some of the money for himself and brought the remainder and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter asked, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart so that you should lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the money you got for the land? As long as it remained unsold, wasn't it your own? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? So how could you have thought of doing what you did? You didn't lie only to men, but also to God." When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. And great fear seized everyone who heard about it. The young men got up, wrapped him up, carried him outside and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, Ananias' wife came in, not knowing what had happened. So Peter asked her, "Tell me, did you sell the land for that price?" She answered, "Yes, that was the price." "How could you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord?" Peter asked her. "Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and these men will carry you outside as well." She instantly fell down at Peter's feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead, so they carried her out and buried her next to her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and everyone else who heard about this. Now many signs and wonders were being performed by the apostles among the people who were gathered together in Solomon's colonnade. None of the others dared join them, although the rest of the people continued to hold them in high regard. Nevertheless, believers were being added to the Lord in increasing numbers, both men and women. As a result, People kept carrying their sick into the streets and placing them on stretchers and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he went by. Crowds continued coming in, even from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those who were troubled by unclean spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all those from the sect of the Sadducees who were with him were filled with jealousy. So they went out, arrested the apostles and put them in the city jail. But at night, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and led them out. The angel told them, "Go stand in the temple and keep on telling the people the whole message about this life they can have." After the apostles heard this, they went into the temple at daybreak and began to teach. The high priests and those who were with him arrived, called the council and all the elders of Israel together, and sent word to the prison to have the men brought in. When the temple police got there, they did not find them in the prison. They came back and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." When the commander of the temple guards and the high priests heard these words, they were utterly at a loss as to what could have happened to them. Then someone came and told them, "Look, the men you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." So the commander of the temple guards went with his men to bring them back without force, because they were afraid of being stoned to death by the people. When they brought them back, they made them stand before the council, and the high priest began to question them. He said, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, didn't we? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus to life after you killed him by hanging him on a tree. God has exalted to his right hand this very man as our leader and savior in order to extend repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who keep on obeying him." When the council heard this, they became furious and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was respected by all the people, stood up in the council and ordered the men to be taken outside for a little while. Then he told them, "Fellow Israelis, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For in the recent past, Theudas appeared, claiming that he was important, and about 400 men joined him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed and disappeared. After that man, at the time of the census, Judas the Galilean appeared and got people to follow him. He too died, and all his followers were scattered. I'm telling you to keep away from these men for now. Leave them alone. Because if this plan or movement is of human origin, it will fail. However, if it's from God, you won't be able to stop them. And you may even discover that you are fighting against God." So they were convinced by him. After calling in the apostles and beating them, they again ordered them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and let them go. They left the council rejoicing to have been considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept teaching and proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah. Psalm 125, a song of ascents. God is secure. Those who are trusting in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be overthrown. They remain forever. just as mountains encircle Jerusalem, so the Lord encircles his people from now to eternity. For evil's scepter will not rest on the land that has been allotted to the righteous, and so the righteous will not direct themselves to do wrong. Lord, do good to those who are good, and to those who are upright in heart. But for those who choose their own devious paths, the Lord will lead them away along with those who practice evil. Peace be upon Israel. Proverbs 16:25. There is a road that seems right for a man to travel, but in the end, it's the road to death. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for a new week, a new chance, a new start, a new beginning, and we reflect upon that opportunity. We don't deserve anything. And you have given us every chance to repent, to start over, to keep moving by the guidance of your Holy Spirit as we mature, as we grow, as we become better, as our brokenness is healed, and we look more and more like our Savior than like the person that we were without our Savior. Holy Spirit, continue this path of maturity in our lives and lead us into all truth, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is John from Missouri. I wanted to pray especially for my wife, Barbara, and she is, just had a series of health issues, starting with melanoma 2 years ago, and that's done pretty well with immunotherapy, but then the immunotherapy caused two life-threatening issues with autoimmune responses. One where she couldn't get rid of fluid in her body, and it was blood pressure dropped dangerously low. Was in the hospital for 2 weeks, and they finally figured it out and got her on steroids and IVIG, but it's cleared up pretty well. And then she had a bad skin reaction, which from eosinophils getting high, and it's affected her skin really bad, and walking and balance. And so anyway, she's dealing with some of those and had to get on high dose steroids and a bunch of other medicines, IVIG, and she's also type 1 diabetic. And God has been great through all of this, but then now she has a real serious infection in her foot with type 1 diabetes. It's very serious. It's went to the bone. And so we're really just praying for just total healing, and especially for her encouragement, because she's been real faithful through all of this, but she's losing spirit and she's just having difficulty just keeping her faith up. And me too sometimes. And I have a lot of pain issues myself, so just praying for her and helping her.
Hi, this is Ruth from Idaho, and I just wanted to call in and ask for prayer for my family, especially my son and his friend who just passed away. She committed suicide, and she was in the hospital for a week, and we just were really praying for her and hoping that God would work a miracle. And she ended up passing away, and she was not a Christian that we were aware of. And just some things happened before she passed away. We were going to spend some time with her, and then it got canceled. And there's just a lot of guilt and fear and grief happening. And I just really would like the community to lift my son up in prayer, lift this girl's family up in prayer, that their whole family would just be comforted and ministered to and could find Jesus through this experience, through this horrible tragedy. And I just really, I'm asking for prayer for all of the friends involved as well. There's a lot of guilt that I'm feeling right now, and shame that we didn't see the signs and weren't there for her when she needed us. So if you guys could lift us all up in prayer, that would be really great. Thank you so much.
Desperately connected to Jesus, this is Godzilla Flower calling in, and I just want to pray for you. I am not going through vertigo, which I thank God for that, because it must be horrible. But I have other disabilities that prevent me from living the life that, that have taken away some of my abilities to do life well. In the midst of that, you know, the underlying joy of the Lord is always in my heart, and my trust in Him is always full. I also use these disabilities to bring glory to God through my attitude and my trust in Him and my faith that others can see. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would help desperately seeking Jesus to release her situations to You, Lord God, and walk on faith and trust, not her own feet, but label them faith and trust in You, that as she walks, she can bring glory to Your name. Ultimately, Lord, we would love a healing so that she can fully engage in life and Your path You have chosen for her. So, Lord God, we pray Your hand upon her head, and that You would light the path before her so she is always walking in Your will and in Your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, let this day belong completely to You. Help us to hear Your voice. Thank You that Brian's reading to us, and Jill and Zeke, and let these words penetrate our hearts and change us, Lord, that we may be transformed by the renewal of our minds and our hearts. Thank You, Lord, for all of our pastors and just fellow Christians that are calling us to higher ground, calling us to a deeper relationship, a closer one with You. In Jesus' name I pray. This is Candace from Oregon, keeping you all in prayer.
Good morning, DAB community. I thank God for each and every one of you. I ask God to bless you and love you and surround you with His armor so that you may be protected from the evil one. I also thank you all for who prayed for me and my husband and my marriage and my hopelessness. This is Martha from New Mexico, and I thank you. I feel so loved and so blessed. It brings tears to my eyes. Thank you. I love you.
Good morning, DAB family. This is One Traveling Chick from Texas. Just wanted to call and thank everyone for their prayers for me in this past couple of weeks. I really appreciate it. I am really going through a trying time right now, and I'm just asking for continued prayer. You know, I heard the phrase, trust is easy until it is tested. I heard it twice this week, and I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling because I've been through so much in these 55 years, and every time I feel like I can breathe, something comes crashing down, and I am exhausted. I'm mentally exhausted, physically exhausted, and the only thing I have is my faith to hold on to. Nothing else. I have nothing else to hold on to. So I'm just asking for prayers that I be strengthened, that God, I know He's here. I just don't sense Him. I don't feel Him. I'm praying, I'm fasting, and my mind just keeps wandering. So I am just really praying to see something change, something new, whatever that is. This journey is just really, really tough right now. And I know there's others out there who may be going through something even worse than me, but I need extra reinforcements this morning. So thank you in advance. One Traveling Chick from Texas.